Well, if it's all right with everybody, I think I'll preach a little while. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, the giants. I see it. I see it in the Spirit. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have been privileged to have been born in the land. The giant among nations. The giant. The nation that has reached out to the world and even helped and fed our enemies, even when they bit our hands when we did it. The most generous, the most giving nation ever on the planet. The nation of Israel is a giving nation. But it has struggled and needed help because it's small, but it's big in the eyes of God. So he raised up this giant of a nation called the United States of America. And we're here to stay, thank you very much. And the power of the living God is upon us. And we're going through the most dangerous time, our most dangerous hour that we've ever seen since World War II. And in some ways, more dangerous than that because of the disastrous effect that it's had on our economy. But we're faith giants. The faith giants in this country far, far outweigh before the throne of God in prayer and faith, far outweigh all of the spiritual enemies and all of the actual enemies of this nation. We're a praying people. We're a believing people. And we're a never quit people. Praise God, we never quit. We just never quit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this word today and we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. This morning, in fact, the Lord spoke this to me last Sunday, just after church. Go back to the fundamentals of faith. Let me remind you, what are you watching when you watch the Super Bowl? Masters of the fundamentals. What are you watching when you watch the World Series? Masters of the fundamentals. The game is the game. But it's those who put forth the effort, those that go back to the fundamentals, those that never let them get out of sight, those that practice their faith and work and deal and honor and praise God and work in the Word and stay in the Word and keep it before their eyes, praise God, and in their heart and in their mouth, the fundamentals of faith. So this morning, we want to go to Mark chapter 5. Verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and then she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Luke 8, chapter 43, or excuse me, verse 43. Thank you, Lord, for the wind. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. I wanted you to see that. She touched the border of his garment. That would be where his prayer shawl was out. He's a rabbi. And his prayer shawl was right there. She came before him. She wasn't behind him. She fell down before him. And when he turned around, she came up and touched the edge of that prayer shawl. Now in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, in the New Living Testament, where God gave instructions about a woman and an issue of blood. And all of the different precautions and so forth, but it's good to read it in the New Living Testament. That an issue of blood beyond her normal time, she's still unclean. She's considered unclean. Wherever she is, she's unclean. 12 years this woman had been unclean and unable to come out in the public. She's totally unclean. I wanted you to understand and get a grasp of the importance to this woman and how she had braved the street to get out in public. She's so convinced. And so absolutely, totally convinced that the moment she touched that prayer shawl, that power would come into her and that she would be healed. She was absolutely, totally convinced of it. Now, anyone, well, let me give you the background on this because I learned it from Brother Kenneth Hagin many, many years ago. He was in a, he had been in a meeting and he was in a, in someone's home. And they were just, they just gathered there to have a, some refreshments and have a meal. And he said about the urge to pray. He said, he told everybody, I have to pray and I have to pray now. So they just all got on their knees, and the moment he got on his knees, there was Jesus. The moment. And the Lord talked to him about other things. And he asked the Lord, he said, I need to ask you something. He said, I have a part of a message about this woman with the issue of blood. And he asked him so on, and Jesus gave him the he said, yeah, you're right. But he said, now you've missed some of the parts and the steps to that message. He said, take down these 4 points. And he said, it's amazing how good you can write with your eyes closed if you're in the Spirit. And he said, I grabbed the piece of paper and put down 1, 2, 3, 4. And Jesus told him, anyone, anytime, anywhere that will do these 4 things that this woman did, they can receive whatever they need and whatever they want in any category of life. And so he wrote it down, and then thank God, glory, and I learned it from him. These 4 things. Number 1, she said it. Number 2, she did it. Number 2, she received it. And number 4, she told it, or she testified to it. Those 4 things. It'll work financially. It'll work in any realm of life. It will work, and you're believing God and changing your family. It will work, you're believing God and fixing your family. It'll work in praying and believing God in finances. Glory to God, because it is the way of faith and it is the way of heaven. Amen. You missed a good opportunity to honk your horn right there. All right, let's go back over there to Mark 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, so she was unclean. Unclean for 12 years. The only thing worse would be to have leprosy, to be unclean. At least the leper could get outside. At least the leper could go among other lepers. She could not. She was holed up in her room. My, my, George, 12 years, man. 12 years. She was quarantined for 12 years, not 3 or 4 months. Nobody, except someone maybe there to help her. I'm because of what is said here, I know someone was there to help her. She'd suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus. Now I want to talk about that. She heard of Jesus. So what did she hear? Well, we know what he preached. We know, beginning with Luke chapter 4. in his own hometown of Nazareth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to preach. He's anointed me to teach. He's anointed me to heal. Glory to God. He's anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord or the great jubilee." So he literally said to those people, "I am your great jubilee. Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. Poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. Captive man, you don't have to be captive anymore. Poor man, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here, poor man." What's the gospel to a poor man? To not be poor anymore. Hallelujah. And you can tell from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, as Peter preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. So we know that that's what she heard, because that's what he preached everywhere he went. He started with that message. How would they have known he was anointed unless he told them he was anointed? How would they know what his authority was if he didn't preach the acceptable year of the Lord, if he didn't preach the blessing of Abraham and not the curse? So we know she heard that. She believed it in her heart. And so she started saying it with her mouth. And she said it, and she said it, and she said it, and she said it. If you look it up in the Greek, it says she just kept saying it. She just kept saying it. "If I but touch that prayer shawl, I'll be healed. I'll be whole. If I just touch," and whole meant my finances too, George. That meant that the finances had to be replaced, because without that, she would not have been whole. Praise God. Praise God. But then she had to get into action. She could have said, "I believe this. I believe it with all my heart. I just believe it, and I kept saying it, and I kept saying it. But I'm bleeding now. I'm bleeding now. I'm skin and bones. I've been bleeding for 12 years. What?" No, she did it. She just got up and did it. Glory to God. Went right on out there. Then it said she received it. Now, notice at 5:29, "And straightway," or immediately, "the fountain of her blood was dried up, and then she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." She received it. She received it. That means she did exactly what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. "Therefore, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you will have it." She did that. She absolutely did that. She believed she received it while she was praying. She saw herself with it. She saw herself get up. She saw herself walk free. She saw herself crawl out that door. She saw herself get a hold of that garment. She saw it in her heart before she ever went out there. Glory to God. She saw it. And she received it. She received it. She received it before she ever could have had the physical energy, or could have had the absolute just nerve to go outside that door. I venture to say she hadn't been outside in 12 years. That's a long time to be shut in and nobody have anything to do with you. They can. Maybe just so occasionally. But George, if you read that in the 15th chapter of Leviticus, if anyone touched her, they were unclean. And then they had to go bathe and clean up. That'll get rid of a lot of your friends over a period of 12 years. But she believed it. She believed it. She received. She took it. You've heard Gloria say this. In fact, I learned it the first time when I heard her say it. She said it to me. She said, Kenneth, look that up in the Greek. That Greek word receive is to take. To take it. She took it. She could see it. It was on the inside of her. It was in her mind. It had overcome all of her feelings. It had overcome all of her pains. It had overcome everything she heard, everything she saw, everything she did was wrapped up in it, and she took it. Praise God. She ran the risk, and her faith paid off. Glory to God. Then, thank God, how do we know, how did we find out that she'd been in this condition 12 years? How do we know that she had suffered at the hand of many physicians? How do we know that she was completely, totally broke and had no, she evidently was a woman of means at one time, because hey, many physicians spent all that she had on this terrible disease? Because when she fell down before Jesus, she told him all of that. We don't have any concept of how long they were there. But now stop and think a moment. Who is waiting in the wings? Jairus. And his little daughter is at the point of death. And he is standing there and standing there and standing there, waiting and listening. But now you have to remember, he was leader of the synagogue in Capernaum, and that's Jesus' home synagogue. Amen. And he had faith in Jesus. And he had already believed it in his heart. He had already said it with his mouth. You come lay your hands on her and she will live. Hallelujah. And so Jesus just went with him. Now I want to show you again. Most of you have heard this, but it'll bear repeating. The Spirit of God was not, in this case, and you can tell it, Jesus had been over across the Galilee and had just ministered to the madman of Gadara and delivered him and called him to preach. And he had just come back across the lake to Capernaum. That's where he lived. That's where his headquarters were. He just went home. And just as the boat, his boat pulled up there, Jairus was waiting for him. I can just see him walking the beach around there. He's got to come here. He has to come here. He has to come here. He's coming here. I know. Because this is where he lives. In fact, he lives right here close to me. That's been proven. and fell down and made his statement of faith. And when they came up and said, your little daughter's dead, why trouble the master any longer? He still didn't say anything, George. But Jesus answered and said, stop the faith. Now fear, stop the fear. Stop the fear. Now that's the way Jesus handles death. The spirit of fear is the spirit of death. Fear is not okay. Faith is, fear is not. Stop the fear. Believe only. She will live. She will be made whole. Stop the fear. Now, concerning the finances of this nation and concerning your finances, glory to God, stop the fear. Stop it. Stop the fear today. Believe only. You will be made whole. Many, many, not a few, many, many, many people, many people. I'm telling you, many, many people that live and walk by faith and the word of God is final authority in their lives will come out of this situation with a better job, the best job they've ever had in all their life. They will come out of it. Their business will prosper. And it will be like this woman with the issue of blood. Immediately it'll take place just as soon as they turn us loose. Glory to God. And people, I'm speaking by the Spirit. People will come up to you. People will come up to other people and say, how are you doing this, man? How'd you recover so fast? You'll say, well, I'll tell you how. Glory to God. Jesus Christ of Nazareth meets my needs according to his riches in glory. And if you'd like to know him, I'll introduce you to him right now. Hallelujah. We are the people of faith. We are the people of God's glory. Revelation 12, 11, don't turn there. They are we. Have overcome them, come him, the devil, all of his devils in that whole kingdom of darkness. Well, yeah, I'll turn there. The Lord just said, that's not good. You need to turn there. Revelation 12. Let's read 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. In the face of death. Hallelujah. The words of their testimony. She told it. She testified of it. She declared it. And she kept declaring it. And she declared. She did. Don't you know, George? Don't you know she was thrilled? Glory to God, I'm healed. I can just come out here in front of everybody. I can get out of my house. I can get out of my house. Glory to God. I'll get all my weight back. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to add a little bit here to it. I might even have a baby now. Because, see, a man couldn't touch her. Doesn't say anything about her being a widow. Doesn't say anything about her being married. Now, glory to God, she can get married and she can expect to prosper financially again. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus. On the day he went to the cross, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, praise you. I want to read you something from the book of Isaiah. Very familiar scripture, but not a very familiar verse. Isaiah 53, talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew language first actually says, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. The ninth verse, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And in my Bible, in the cross reference, Hebrew, deaths, plural, deaths. Jesus died. They saw him die physically on that cross. But you remember as well as I do, before he died, he shouted with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, that second death mentioned there is to die spiritually. His physical death was not enough. Spiritual death is very, very simple. It is just simply disconnected from God. Any person who has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior is spiritually dead. Your spirit is disconnected from God. But Jesus took care of that. Went into hell and suffered for 3 days and three nights in that horrible, horrible, horrible hell of a place. And he suffered more than any man before or any man after because he suffered it all. And he took your place and he took mine. He took your sins and he took mine. 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So our bodies were healed at the same time that he bore our sins. It is all on the same day, all on the same sacrifice. He took our place. He went to hell for us so we don't have to go. So anyone in the sound of my voice that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, he died so you could live, so you could be free. Glory to God. He bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. And the moment he was raised from the dead, the very moment he was raised from the dead, in God's eyes, you were free. In God's eyes, you were healed. In God's eyes, you were prosperous. In God's eyes, it was done. In his eyes. Hallelujah. And in his eyes, you receive his fullness of joy. In his eyes, he saw you filled and baptized with the mighty Spirit of God himself. He saw you that way. He saw you not struggling in this life. Not struggling for money, not struggling for health, not struggling in your life. So in the name of Jesus, pray this with me. My God, my Lord in heaven, I believe with all my heart. You raised Jesus from the dead. I believe with all my heart. You bore my sins in your own body on the tree. I believe with all my heart that you went to hell and suffered for me. And I'm here today to thank you for it with all of my being. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now as my Lord. I receive you now as my Savior. I receive you now as my healer. I receive you now as my baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And I receive you now as my Melchizedek, my financier. I receive you as my high priest. And I call you Lord by faith. I receive you as my baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Raise me up and sit me at your right hand, Jesus, in heavenly places. I receive you. I have you. I'm filled now. I'm healed now. I'm well now. I'm delivered now. In the name of Jesus, I'm free. I'm free from all addictions. I'm free. I'm free from pornography. I'm free from drugs. I'm free from alcohol. I'm free from a foul language. I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. Now come on, give the Lord a shout. Come on, give him a shout. Give him a praise. Give him a shout. Give him a praise. Give him a shout. Give him a praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I stretch my hand towards you. I lay my hands on you this morning. And I'm thrilled to call you my brother and call you my sister. I'm thrilled that your body's healed and well. I'm thrilled that you are delivered from tobacco. You're delivered from alcohol. You're delivered from drugs. You're forgiven and delivered from every nasty thing that the devil tagged your life with, because he took your place. And we love you. In the name of Jesus.